And it showed a picture of a preacher, and it showed the whole congregation sort of falling asleep, and one child trying to leave the building through a window. And it said, there's a fine line between a long service and a hostage situation. And I feel like we are like on the border of a hostage situation. Even this morning, my wife said to me, Dave, if it's 10 to 11, don't preach your sermon. And it's almost 10 after 11. I'm not sure what to do. I really do wonder if it's worth waiting till next week to preach this sermon. Okay, I'm going to preach. Did you hear what someone said? Like, who said that? Okay, I'm going to preach a very short sermon, and I'm chopping it in my head as we speak. So turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I am nervous. I gave you the option, and one person said to preach. This is a passage that we spent a fair bit of time on in our baptism and profession class. This is a well-known passage in the book of Acts, Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. 2 weeks ago, we had an extended conversation in our profession class about how it is that we grow. How do we nurture our life in Jesus Christ in such a way that we have roots, that we experience the life of the Spirit just animating and strengthening and using us for the kingdom of God. And we looked at Acts 2 and simply asked the question, what is it that God has for us today in these words? How is he speaking to us in these words? And what we noticed and talked about is how discipleship in Acts chapter 2 is actually quite simple. We talked about how the way we grow in Christ is not a complicated ordeal. And sometimes as believers, we do make it complicated. We do make it strange. And when we look at this passage, we realize this is fairly straightforward. The movement of Acts 2 is there is a set of practices that the disciples devoted themselves to. And that led to them experiencing the life of Jesus in really profound ways. And that led to the favor of the church in the watching eyes of the neighbor and growth in the church through the power of God. We talked about that word devoted. Peter shared that when he heard the word devoted, what he heard was the way that an athlete, like a hockey player, which he was, organizes their schedule around practices, organizes their diet around the next game, and they're sort of carving out space for that next hockey event. Nick talked about, he's the one playing cello, he talked about the way you practice and the way you organize your life so you have large chunks of time that do not get taken away from cello, otherwise you will not advance as a cellist. There's a sense in which they understood devoted means you have a single-minded interest in that one thing. And Acts 2 says the disciples, the early church, had a single-minded interest in four specific practices. And what are they? Nick mentioned them. The apostles' teaching, the scriptures, to fellowship, being together. They were devoted to breaking of bread, sharing a meal, hospitality, and to prayer. Those four things animated the life of the church in such a way that they experienced the renewing power of Jesus in their midst. And it brought forth joy, it brought forth generosity, it brought forth favor in the eyes of the watching world, and it grew the church. And I want to talk just briefly then. I'm not going to talk briefly. I'm just going to diagram what I shared with our new members. If you've been in our membership class, you will not be foreign to this illustration. And I could say so much more about it, but I'm going to just be brief today. This is Acts 2 in a picture. If you're a sermon diagrammer, here you go. We have the life of Jesus. And then we have the church. And enjoy my stick drawings. Those of you who are here for when I was a youth pastor, you can mock me all you want. Make sure there's equality. Little baby. There we go. In a diaper. There you go. the whole community. And then we have the way that the life of Jesus flows into the church. And Acts 2 says, the way that the life of Jesus flows into the church is through the apostles' teaching, through fellowship, through the breaking of bread, if I can spell it, and then through prayer. And we spent a lot of time, you guys remember this image, in fact, Nick, you referenced it, we spent a lot of time saying, think of a time in your life where you felt you were thriving in your life of Jesus Christ. Think of a time, perhaps it was a serve trip, perhaps it was spending time with your friends in devotion, perhaps it was a camp that you're at where you felt like Jesus is at work here. And as I asked the students to share this, and I've done this with other people before, they start talking about a friend. They start talking about youth group. They start talking about praying with family members around the table. They start talking about the hospitality of friends in the church who invite them in. And invariably, and I do mean this, when they talk about ways they experience the life of Jesus flowing into the life, it involves often all four of these things. And that shouldn't surprise anybody, that when Luke or Acts 2 describes how Jesus Christ started transforming the church, it came through four very basic practices: teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. And I haven't done this with a lot of groups, but I bet you the opposite is true. If I were to ask you in the church, describe a time where you were in a spiritual wasteland, where you felt far from the Lord, where you were sensing like, where is Christ? Where am I at in my relationship with the Lord? I'm guessing that these channels, in one way or another, were blocked. You were not praying in that season. You weren't really part of the church. You weren't experiencing the gift of fellowship, of Christian friendship. The scriptures were collecting dust in your room. And there wasn't a real sense of practicing hospitality, experiencing the breaking of bread and remembering Christ's death. And there's a sense in which when these channels are blocked, it leads to spiritual wasteland in the church. And just for the whole community this morning to reflect, ask yourself, how are these channels of grace operating in your life right now? Think of it in terms of a self-diagnostic. How is prayer taking place in my life? Not just personally, but with others. How is hospitality and the breaking of bread happening in my life? What about fellowship? Am I in meaningful community with those who love the Lord and are spurring me on towards love and good deeds? And are the scriptures being preached? Am I open to them under devotions? Do I experience time with other believers in youth group or small group or around the table, hearing Christ speak by his word? Because what Acts 2 says in a nutshell is, the life of Jesus flows into the church through these channels of grace. And when they're blocked, we experience a sense of distance and wasteland. But when they're open, we experience joy, generosity. We experience worship, the richness of community, and the watching world sees Jesus Christ at work in the church. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word.